This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And we're doing the Cosmic Eye forecast today, and I'm joined by Vanessa Montgomery to talk about Taurus season. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Tiny. Hey, everyone. Happy Taurus season. All right. Well, you had me at 1 o'clock, Tiny.
Exactly. Yes, it's time to sit in the hot tub. Yes, and chill out. Yes.
That's right. And relax. Sink into that couch. So, Taurus. Yin fixed Earth. It's an Earth sign. Venus is already in Taurus, so it started a little bit earlier. I'm feeling it. Tony, you're dressed in your plaid and your comfy gear. I've got my loose comfy gear on, and I have been wearing my plaid shirt. I just realized, feeling the Venus in Taurus already.
Nice. Yeah, I just picked out. I was thinking, you know, for the podcast, I just channeled my inner Taurus and was like, "What's my most favorite comfy shirt?" And I reached for one of those. So.
It's true. And I realized I've started wearing my plaid shirt all of a sudden. And I'm like, I think it's the Taurus rising, having the Taurus Venus happening. Yeah, I've started wearing this really loose shirt as well. And I think that's why, you know, it's interesting to notice one, especially when you get a whole bunch of planets starting to come into a sign and how you've actually moved to express that somehow, especially if you have, you know, a particular focus in that sign. So for me, it's my ascendant. Tony, you're going to have trines from all this earth, so that's going to light you up. And yeah, anyone with a Venus in Taurus, you get the return, and the sun's going to light you up. They're all going to pile in there over the month. So yeah, look at like new food interests, new comfort interests. Oh, a focus on resources as well with the money and the cash, maybe the cryptocurrency and the blockchain and the NFTs, because I think at the moment you can't talk about Taurus without really leaning into that Uranian vibe. The electric cattle prod. So
that's so good.
I know for me, I've started putting food on my face, like avocado. And I was just telling Tony, I think that's why that Venus is coming over my Taurus ascendant. And I just love everything natural. And I've put this mix of honey, avocado, and coconut yogurt. And my skin's really soft. It actually did a great job of it. Tuning in, I just suddenly feel like doing this.
Right? Oh, that sounds so luscious and luxurious.
It was. And so, of course, you know, Taurus is ruled by Venus as well. That is beauty and resources. So, and yeah, lush, you know, nice, natural, it's earthy, it's aware of how to use material things as well. You know, the sign is the bull as well, which I still can't think about without thinking of that Uranian cattle prod going on. So what's the main themes of Taurus? I think of stability, like Taurus moves to stabilize. So whatever you did that you initiated and started in Aries season, what's happening now that you're actually going to take and pin down and start to build into your routine and put it into, use it in a foundational way? So I think it's interesting to really get conscious about those things so that you can drill down into them more and make the most of them. So Tony, did you find you started new things and initiated?
Oh my God, yes. Like last month was so busy. And I think also I was telling you this before we started, I think for me personally, when Mars went into Gemini and Mars is out of bounds as well, and that really has a direct impact on my chart as well. I was just going in so many directions at once, but definitely was tapping into that Aries vibe.
Yeah, I could really feel it. And there are a few things that I thought, okay, especially towards the end, I was just like, okay, it's the final time. And I could feel that, you know, intellectually I knew that, but I could feel that like, okay, you need to push out and initiate things and, you know, reach out as well. And yeah, just like throw it out there, see what happens, you know, throw the ball to someone. So I've definitely done that. And we'll see what comes back. And yeah, and now I just feel like, okay, I know I'll stick with these things now and I've just got to sort of get on with what I've started and what I need to do. That's my feeling. So And it's, I do love that that big shift, especially when you get that bunch of planets moving from one sign to the next. I can definitely sense that gear change, and it certainly is a gear change moving from Aries into Taurus.
Yeah, and it's one in which that Aries to Taurus one especially is one, I mean, you could probably say this about all of them, but it's one where you really need you really need the Taurus right after the Aries, right?
You do, but we don't get to rest as much because Uranus.
Right.
We really, you know,
and just, as we're going to see this month, we don't really get to rest much at all. It's not, it's anyway, everything else is not really dialed into resting.
So yeah, it's trying to stabilize growth Taurus style, but then it's like, whoop, there's Uranus and the rest. So Taurus doesn't like change. So famous for not liking change. You know, if you think of your Taurus friends or Taurus relatives, especially if they're a bit older, you know, I laugh at my auntie, my cousin, she's sun and moon in Taurus, and my cousin tried to get her to change her handbag. She virtually had to rip it from her hands. It's like, it's time for a new one. And, you know, she only did it because she threw my auntie's bag in the bin at a shopping center so it couldn't be retrieved. Here's a new bag. Like, that one, really, it's had it. And Taurus doesn't want to let go. You know, that fixed mode is, you know, that's real. Modes are definitely in there real. So the change is coming, and the Taurians are certainly leading the way. So I've got that in my classic Taurus example as well. And it's certainly time to get into nature with Taurus and really appreciate that, appreciate good food, you know, all the beauty and the abundance and the lush luxness of Taurus as well. Really enjoy what, you know, what you have in the moment. It's an earth sign, so be in the moment. That gratitude and appreciation, as we all know, brings more of the same. And you're not living in a place of lack. So you're making decisions, even unconsciously, from a place of abundance when you're appreciating what you actually have and the simple things too, especially with Taurus and Virgo. Just appreciating the simple things like your plant. Start a little garden. I'm all about getting that garden going and growing your own food. You don't need much space for that. You know, one pot for the kale, one pot for the carrots or peas or something. I think this would be the time to get that going. I think of all the artistic side with Venus in Taurus, which we have as well at the moment. You know, Libra, the other Venus ruled sign, is like more high art, maybe more conceptual. But Taurus is craft. It's useful things that are also beautiful and a joy to use. So, you know, macrame, get your macrame on, try some pottery. Yeah, DIY some things. I guess it's a bit like Virgo in that way too, working out how to do things yourself and being self-sufficient as well. And that's that part of like building that stable foundation that Taurus could really lend us right now with so much instability and people feeling, a bit of chaos and the unknown. Well, how do you deal with that? You go into the Taurus and you just knuckle down and you stabilize those simple things. So again, that's food. It's very resourceful sign. Yeah, bringing it back. What can you do in simple ways to make yourself feel more stable and secure? Stabilize your base. And yeah, I think there's so much that's kind of, it's conceptual and not real. And it's just so, you know, even I think of how the currency is changing with cryptocurrency and actually fiat real currency it's built on gas. Like, it's not real anymore. That thing that is meant to be Taurian, it's divorced from gold. It's just paper. It's literally meaningless, and which means there's no stability to it. And we won't go into it because it's a bit depressing. But yeah, it's just, there's no tangible quality to these things, even when you think about it, especially moving into digital finance. Like, I know, like, the market had this big drop just the other day in the digital finance because there was a big power outage in China. So it just affects the market, so volatile. And here we've got that Uranus in Taurus statement yet again. So what are the pitfalls of Taurus? I do love talking about the pitfalls. The resistance to change, but then, you know, that's all changed. Very stubborn. Try to make a Taurus do something. Not going to happen. And sugar with the Venus ruled signs. the sweet things, the sugar, you know, it's a very foodie sign, very like it's a gourmet sign. So, yeah, make sure not to lean into the sugar and have get the sweetness in life in a healthier way as well.
Or in healthy quantities.
And healthy quantities, yes. Yes. Likes grazing. Rules the throat as well. So, yeah, look after your throat in Taurus season. I think of like a lot of the singers, obviously, with the big voices, a Taurus or moon in Taurus, like Christina Aguilera.
Adele's a Taurus.
Yeah, think about Adele is my most classic one, although that's not who I'm focusing on today. Yeah. She's such a classic Taurus, isn't she?
Yeah.
She literally moved to stabilize herself when she felt things were getting a bit too, you know, up in the air. And at the peak of her fame, she just went back to basics to, yeah, stabilize everything and keep it real and not lose contact with the people who are actually buying her music, which I thought was fascinating. So, yeah, the throat chakra, do a bit of work on the throat chakra and your throat, your voice. You know, that's a bit moving into Gemini as well, but that's definitely a thing. I know with Taurus rising and all my Taurus rising crew, we do get a lot of throat issues. It's definitely a thing. And of course, Taurus rules the chest and neck as well. So just stretch it out, regularly move that head. You know, we're all on a screen all day. Well, a lot of us are. And I find you're just not getting that mobility. So get into that. Classic Taurus is Lizzo. So another Taurus musician, singer, also writer, rapper, songwriter, and flautist of all things. Famous so for great. Playing the flute. Yeah. It's not what you'd expect from a rapper, right? Well, she's more like a pop star. She raps too. So she has seven planets in Earth. She is super earthy. In Taurus, she has Sun, Jupiter, Mercury all conjunct. So you can see that Jupiter really amplifying the Taurus as well. She's incredibly buoyant, her music, so uplifting, so upbeat. And I think that's Jupiter in there as well. She's got Moon in Virgo. And I was thinking, you know, I can hear the Uranus in there. So I checked her transit and, of course, she's just had Uranus hit all her Taurus stellium, and natally she's Taurus trining it as well. So Taurus is very much about the body, of course, as well. And she is really big on initially body positivity, but she's saying, you know, that's really been co-opted and commercialized. So she's more moved to body normative. It's just normal. You know, because she said there's just, you know, thin white girls saying body positivity, and she said it's not working for the people that are actually started out to help. So she's like body normative, very out and proud. If you look at all her stuff, she's got her body out there, and she's like so many earth signs know how to do, and I see that with you, Tony. They just walk their talk and they model and they show practically, and this is how you do it. So she just doesn't just talk about it. She just gets out there, extreme confidence. I think you can, again, see that Jupiter going on and throwing herself out. And I'll have to say too, when she, with the foodie thing, when she was in Australia touring her show in 2019, it was during our full-on devastating fires here. So she, before she did her show, she went to the food bank and helped people pack food and sort through the donations. Like, that's an earth sign. If you want to see how earth signs operate, that's it there. She physically went and did something practical to help. She knows that she'll get attention and bring the promo to what's happening there. But I love that she showed up with her high vis and blue gloves on, and people were just like, they couldn't, this doesn't seem real. Like, it was so out of place. So she apparently, it really boosted their morale. And yeah, I was quite impressed. I'm like, who would even think to do that? So very humble with the Virgo moon there as well. But I love that she just got into the actual place, literally hands-on. Also, I looked for a few, actually there were a few quotes that I found. So when she was asked about which, you know, Sailor Moon character would you be, she said, Sailor Venus, the goddess of love, which, you know, she's Venus ruled. I thought that was interesting. And, perfect. You know, perhaps earth signs don't get a lot of attention for their humor, but actually, you know, every sign has its own brand of humor. And Lizzo is, she's very funny. She's very quick-witted. She's also got that Mercury in there. So when someone asked her something that probably a lot of men don't get asked, they said, what would you be your song to walk down the aisle to? And she already knows, well, this is a bit inappropriate. So she said, what aisle are we talking about? You mean the aisle to get some chicken wings, the aisle of the private jet? Very quick and very clever. I like that.
Both really Taurus responses too, you know, one's about food, right? And one's about comfort.
One's about, right? Luxury.
Yeah.
Comfort, exactly. And she said, I really like the Isle of private jets, of course. So Taurus is smooth. Like, I find as a very fire and air dominant person, I'm like quick. I want really quick responses. And sometimes the earth signs will just, part of their chill coolness is they take a minute to respond because they're just going to feel it in their body. Yeah, how does that feel? Water signs can be quite similar too. And then you get the response. And I'm just thinking, are you playing games with me? Hurry up. And then when I realize someone's earth or water, I'm like, right. And so it gives a very cool overlay to the personality. So show me the money, I think, is a big one with Taurus. Like, they want to get paid. They're not just going to do things for free for nothing and be self-sacrificial, especially Taurus. Like, they have that inherent understanding of value, self-worth. And here again, we have Lizzo really talking up, like sharing that you have value. She's like, the song Shiny, you know, if I shine, everyone's going to shine. Like, she's really into uplifting everyone and giving that, again, that positivity back and that self-worth, self-esteem. Like, you don't have to be or have something or tick these boxes, just have that inherent self-worth. And that's one of her big gifts, I think, and probably one of the things that really drives her, I think, to find success. So she has that platform. And I think that's the main stuff with the Taurus. Anything else to add, Tony?
There's also that common sense wisdom that was coming through some of the things you were quoting of her that I think comes through so strongly. And also the kind of comedy that can come through that approach, that common sense. Like, if you just say common sense in just the right way, you know, it can lead to laughs, which takes me into my classic Taurus, which is Tina Fey.
Yes.
Starting out with a quote from Mary Valby, she writes, Pisces consumes to escape and Sagittarius partakes to party, but Taurus indulges out of pure contentment. So I love that one. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail with Tina Fey. I just want to read a quick quote that captures the sentiment, I think, of what Mary Valby is sharing there. Tina Fey's quote is, ideal date, dinner with friends, an excellent movie, private karaoke room, massage, and then we'd be put in a sleep chamber for 17 hours.
So. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, the massage as well. Yes, mm-hmm. And the rest wedged between Aries and Gemini. You need that rest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she specified 17 hours. It's like, you know.
17 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I like that.
Another one that kind of, you know, in her talk show anyway, that gives us that kind of down to earth humor is Kelly Clarkson. She's a good Taurus example. And then for
and
those
again with that big voice.
Yeah, with the big voice, exactly. And with the cool guys, Henry Cavill, James McAvoy has a certain kind of, he's a little bit hip, but also down to earth as well. And then I love Janet Jackson for those qualities and also for taking pleasure in the body and demonstrating what that kind of feels like. And for the naturalist aspect, I love Annie Dillard and John Muir. Yeah. But yes. What were you going to say?
I already forgot, but I was going to say with Lizzo, her lyrics, moving on, with her lyrics, there's so many food references. And in her videos, she is often eating something and walking around with like a big drink bottle.
Nice.
There's so much food. The analogies just don't stop. It's very clever. And it's just such, it's so classic Taurus. It's just totally great. But yes, I love that. Oh, that's what I was going to say. When I was learning astrology, I remember Brian Clark saying, my teacher, he was saying Taurus is like, I love my body. And, you know, you think of, even when you think of that, you sort of like do like a body movement. I love my body. And you sort of touch your chest. I love my body. And Taurus, the opposition, the opposite sign is, I love your body too. Like, I want your body. And Taurus is like, it's mine. And Taurus is like, I mean, Scorpio is like, yep, I'll have that. You know, it's that balance. So yeah. Taurus has to be very situated, very centered, very aware of and owning the body, owning the things, like second house kind of vibes too. Like, it's yours. And there's Lizzo again saying, yeah, it's like you, yours, doesn't matter about anyone else or what they think about it. Don't follow that. Just, yeah. And there she is.
Yeah, so, for sure.
That's our classic Taurians. I love getting into the signs because it really helps you feel that vibe and channel it and see it expressed. So next segment is, ta-da, monthly moons. Monthly moons. So, of course, we're going to have a full moon in Scorpio, speaking of which. So that's April 26th, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be at 7 Scorpio. So for anyone with Taurus, Scorpio, or on the cross at around 7, the early vibe. So mixed into that, we're going to have the sun's going to be with Uranus, Venus, and Mercury. So we're going to have a little pile up there, a stellium. That means the full moon's going to be opposite Uranus, Venus, and Mercury. So as always, expect the unexpected, maybe push to change. It's a full moon. So I think the full moons tend to be that, you know, fruition of something or the push or the thing reveals. So you may become aware of a change that you really need, you know, feel it in your body and you can't deny what your body's telling you. So Taurus, of course, is that physical bodily intelligence, which, you know, at the end of the day, that's the truth. You know, the earth signs are in the now and the reality, and it's the truth of the situation. So don't let your mind override it. Really listen to what your body's telling you. Like, if something makes you feel expansive, go towards that thing. If it makes you recoil, that's it. Game over. It's over. That's not for you. Walk away. So I think that's an interesting one with the Uranus in there. You can really just can't deny whatever your body is telling you at that time with the sun in Taurus and moon in Scorpio. You know, Scorpio can be, tiny. Let's hear from moon in Scorpio itself, embodying and representing. It can be crisis, could be intense. You might just become obsessed with someone or something. Like, you know, there's that saying for the last little while is like, I'm so obsessed with, you know, that's a real Scorpio statement. And I do wonder if that's the Pluto in Scorpio generation that's brought that one through.
You absolutely. Know. I think you're right on there. That phrase for sure. Yeah.
I'm so obsessed with dot, 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 fill the blanks. Yeah. So yeah, it might be fairly intense and very, you know, not conceptual, but experiential as well with this full moon. I do love the full moon vibes. And I think it's interesting, the moon in Scorpio, you know, full moons tend to get you wanting to go out. It's very externalizing. It's higher energy. But then the Scorpio is opposite to that. And it's about, like, you know, Scorpios like stealth mode and like to hide in the shadows or be more private. So I always do like to listen to moon in Scorpio people or people with strong Scorpio on full moons and see how they navigate it. And they tend to not want to be out. They tend to want to go with the vibe of that sign, which is more intensely like be home, really be private, but still, you know, really sink into that energy. Like they might get into their tarot or they might want to just be with someone that's meaningful to them and share that energy. But it's, don't plan a party. You know, go with the strengths of the sign, not like a Leo style party. So what do you think? Tony's gone strangely quiet.
Oh no, I just no comment. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly, right? That's the Scorpio move right there. Delph, next question. All right, let's that's the example right there. That's so the example, yes. May 11 2 weeks later, May 11 at 3 p.m., we have the new moon in Taurus. So here we're really bunching up with the Taurus vibes. You know, definitely plan something lavish or the comfort, plan a beautiful meal, definitely set up that hot tub as well. And something indulgent where you get to spend time. Taurus likes, it's not quick. It likes to drop in and really experience and savor things. You know, it's a slow time thing. It's actually being with time and enjoying whatever luxe, sensual pleasure it is. You know, indulge all the senses, set up your new moon manifesting in a really tangible, tactile way with, you know, a beautiful candle, like set the ambience, beautiful food, like, in, you know, involve your body. It's the five senses after all with Taurus. Totally cannot be underestimated with that vibe. So that one's going to be sextile Neptune and trine Pluto. So easy. No terrible, like, sudden shocks. Well, at least for the moon. So sextile Neptune, that's great for manifesting. Trine Pluto, maybe this could be, you know, can really set up some deep change and something that's maybe been hard to budge, that Pluto is going to be in there helping it along. In Capricorn too, maybe with business, maybe with money stuff, maybe with setting up your empire. You know, show me the money. Show me the money, new moon. So, Tony, give me the headlines.
I am happy to. Well, the big aspect this year, we've been, if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you know that it's Saturn square Uranus. So in this section, we're always going to reference that. And this month, these two planets are going to be within 2 to 3 degrees of each other, all Taurus season. You know, we say this month, but we're really tracking the sun in Taurus in our podcast. So the whole time that the sun is in Taurus, Saturn and Uranus be pretty close to each other, not quite exact. But after this month, they'll start to tighten up as they make their way toward the next exact pass, which is going to happen around June 13th, right after Saturn goes retrograde. The Saturn-Uranus square carries a tension between the old and the new, between restriction and between personal freedom. You may have noticed some of this in the headlines right now in the collective. We can see this play out in various responses to the COVID vaccines from those who are on the more Saturn end of the spectrum, who want to kind of mandate that others take the vaccine and maybe creating rules and restrictions around that. And at the other end, you have the rejection of that same process, rejecting of any rules or any restrictions, all in the interest of personal choice or personal freedom, and a rejection of any kind of directive on the Uranus side. So squares carry tension that we're meant to wrestle with and resolve, whether that's in our natal chart or by transits. So each of us will have to work out these energies in our own way. If you find yourself at the far end of either spectrum, you know, really on the Saturn side or really on the Uranus side, you might find that the work lies in reaching out to understand the issues from the other perspective. It's not an opposition in the sense that, you know, there's a balance and a give and take, but with a square, there's some kind of tension to resolve between the two. So you still have to reach out to the other side in some way. And squares take work. So you might have to rumble with these energies, as Brené Brown would say, in order to achieve something that's a little bit more like alchemy, where something new could arise from that challenge, whether that's something inside you or whether it's something that you express externally. And then the next big news is that Mars is still out of bounds. If you heard our podcast last month, you know that. And if you didn't hear it, guess what? Mars is out of bounds. And Mars is out of bounds through May 24th. And this one's especially important to talk about in the United States, because for the last month, the United States has had a Mars return in Gemini. And Mars is also out of bounds in the US natal chart. So it's a real return to its actual condition and placement. And in addition to that, Mars was square Neptune, and Mars is square Neptune in the US chart. Different signs, but still similar vibe there. And all of this underscores the dynamic of this transit for the United States. Unfortunately, we've, as you know, if you've been watching the news, we've seen a lot of the shadow expression of this transit, with a strong increase in shootings here, and with them, another push for gun control laws, or better control laws. It for sure feels like we don't have any gun control laws. And at the same time, because this is happening in the context of the Saturn-Uranus square, there's actually a movement to make the gun control laws even more lax by some people. So it's a real conflict in the culture here. Mars out of bounds is, in terms of its meaning, it's a period of peak intensity for Mars, just to simplify it. And it's a time when you can make the best or the worst with your Mars energy and impulses. This includes Mars things like your drive, your will, or your energy to make things happen. On April 24th, Mars moves into Cancer while it's still out of bounds, but that'll change the expression and the vibe of Mars out of bounds. In Gemini, there's been an increased potential for stress and a kind of frantic, like whack-a-mole quality in terms of how we've been taking action or getting things moving. If you've got planets in mutable signs like Virgo, Pisces, Sag, or Gemini, you probably already felt this energy in the last month in a way that's created some tension. Maybe you're not sleeping well, or maybe you're burning the candle at both ends and moving in a few too many directions at once and spreading your energy too thin, and all this exacerbated by the Aries energy from the last month as well. Now, Sun's moving into Taurus, and as Mars moves into Cancer, the cardinal signs will be the ones that are activated by Mars out of bounds, and that'll be Cancer, Capricorn, Libra, and Aries. When Mars moves into Cancer, just in general, we're a bit more motivated to take action by our emotions or by security needs. This can be a good thing if we get drawn into our emotional center through that process, and if we take time to process a bit before we take action, right? We're checking in with our emotions. Is this how I really feel? Is this what I really want to say? Is this what I really want to do? We're talking about Mars, not Mercury, and running it through that process. But it can just as well be a challenge if we find ourselves lashing out emotionally without awareness, which is, let's be honest, it's not Mars's strong suit to have reserve and to hold back, right? So Mars in Cancer at its worst can be vindictive, lashing out to hurt others that they feel hurt by. Vindictiveness is never productive. So if you know you've got some leanings in that direction, you know, no shame and no blame, but this might be a time period where you get to learn more about that. And with Mars, we learn through mistakes. So if you do make mistakes, just be gentle with yourself, because the universe always gives do-overs with these big lessons. Notice the point where you took a wrong turn, and then make effort to recognize it next time so that you can make a different choice. It's just that simple, right? So just, you know, notice the mistake, note it, and try to get on top of it when it happens again next time. No shame, right? This Mars out of bounds transit is also taking place in the context of the Saturn Uranus square, which was activated last year when the George Floyd tragedy unfolded. And now we're having the trial of the officer while Saturn and Uranus are again square. And this trial, interestingly, started right after Mars went out of bounds. And I say it's interesting because there's some resonance there with the past. There are many events that it's resonant with in the past, but the one I wanted to call to your attention to was in 1999, when Mars was out of bounds in Gemini, again, like a return for the US Mars placement. That was when Rodney King's assault by police officers took place, and then the protests that ensued afterwards. And Saturn was also in Aquarius then. And we haven't resolved the underlying systemic problems that led to these tragedies, but we're faced with the issues again under the current transits. And that's kind of how the cycles and the transits work. It's like we get another chance to review the issue. You know, will we have a different outcome in terms of justice this time? And if so, will that have any impact on the underlying problems? I mean, we can only hope so, right? The jury's deliberating as we record this, and we'll have a verdict, you know, maybe soon, but definitely while Mars is still out of bounds, because Mars is going to be out of bounds for another month. And it doesn't take astrology for me to guarantee that there will be dramatic protests if Chauvin isn't found guilty. But the astrology definitely backs that up as well. Moving forward, on April 27th, Pluto stations retrograde. The outer planet stations intensify the energy of that planet for about a month because they're moving so slow, so a couple weeks on either side. But if you've got natal planets at 26 degrees and you're currently having a Pluto transit, this might be a time period where you're really feeling the pressure of that transit. So if you've not been sure what it's about, you might find out soon. My advice with Pluto is to seek out an underworld guide. And by that, what I mean is someone who can help you navigate that terrain, you know, and that terrain in Pluto language is the unconscious or the shadow side, or maybe the, you know, if this is you, the terrain of your own history of trauma, if you've had trauma in your past. and your Pluto guide or your underworld guide could be a licensed therapist or a specialist in a healing modality that's especially suited to what you're working on. But in any case, it really does help to have someone guide you through this terrain that's familiar with it. You know, if we think about the underworld myths, there's almost always a guide to that process in the myths. There's healing potential with the Pluto transit too, but during the transit, it's time to do the process work. The healing and integration really comes later, right? So it's just about digging in during that transit, if that's you. Finally, we have three important ingresses in May. On May 5th, Mercury moves into Gemini. So Mercury's moving into a sign of its rulership. On May 10th, Venus leaves Taurus and moves into Gemini as well. So Mercury and Venus will both be in Gemini. And then on May 14th, Jupiter moves into Pisces, a sign it rules, right? So we've got a couple of signs in rulership. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later because we've got more than two, which is interesting. But Jupiter, when it moves into Pisces, right at 0 degrees, it's not making any aspects in those early degrees this month, except when we get to May 19th, when the moon opposes it. So we really don't get a lot of juju aspect-wise out of Jupiter moving into Pisces. But still, when a planet moves into a sign of its rulership or just moves into a new sign, we can pick up on that vibe. And in this case, it'll probably be, you know, more noticeable for those of you who are attuned to it, or for those of you who that 0 degree, 1 degree, or 29 degree area is really important. You'll be able to notice that shift in energy. And with Jupiter in Pisces, this is a time to amplify your compassion practice. It's a time to tap into your heart energy with intention every day. And, you know, I recommend imagining yourself broadcasting, you know, that's Jupiter, like amplify the energy, broadcast compassion and loving kindness to every atom in the universe, you know, really go for it, make it big. And then see how long you can stay aware of that energy every day and bring yourself back to that awareness as a practice. It's harder than it sounds, but it'll be a great way to align with the energy of Jupiter in Pisces and to tap into some of its magic, because compassion is deeply healing in so many ways. This is a time to become aware also of your unity with all beings and with everything. I also recommend, as Jupiter moves into Pisces, to avoid the temptation to indulge in substances or to tune out with substances, and instead indulge in tuning into the source. When we cultivate loving kindness in our hearts, in addition to meditation practice, we can actually create chemicals within our own bodies, getting back to Taurus in our body, you know, bring it down to the body, that elevate feelings of joy and contentment. While Jupiter's in Pisces, turn your meditation practice toward a more devotional form as well, which is another way to invoke Pisces, whatever that means for you. You know, when I say the word devotional, I'm not thinking of a specific religion. Just open up that word, and whatever it means to you, bring some of that vibe and that energy in as well. And lastly, if you don't have a meditation practice, you might choose to start one while Jupiter's in Pisces. You know, another way to think about this is take yourself to church in some way, whatever that phrase means to you. And that could be walking in the redwoods if you live near them and you have the blessing to have access to the redwoods. Or, you know, because I say redwoods because the redwoods have this really beautiful, you know, bigness to them and a real majestic quality and energy that really invokes Jupiter in Pisces. I think you could stand near the ocean or some beautiful landscape. You know, if you're standing near the ocean, you're really drinking in those negative ions, right? Really immerse yourself in the experience in some way. Or you could just, you know, if you don't live next to a landscape like that, just close your eyes and contemplate a loved one. Focus on your feelings of love for them. And as you're breathing, just see if you can increase those feelings even more. And then bring all that energy back into your own heart and open your eyes and be present with what's happening right now. So that's what I have for the headlines. Vanessa, anything you want to add to that?
Well, that's a lot. I'm happy with that. It was a good reminder to tune into the Jupiter and amplify it, since that's what Jupiter wants, right? And responds well. So why not? Yeah, I really like that.
Nice,
and
nice.
Mars, I didn't know the US chart had Mars out of bounds. Gee, doesn't that make a lot of sense?
Yeah,
in Gemini
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's amazing. I've been doing some research because I was on another podcast earlier today, a Ghost of a Podcast with Jessica Lagnato. Head over there and check it out for a longer conversation about this Mars out of bounds in the US chart. Well, but there's some really dramatic dates in U.S. history that coincide with this. It's a very important cycle for the United States. So even though it happens with some regularity, roughly every 2 years, it's still, it's, you know, in the last 100 years, some of the most major events that you can think of in U.S. history, especially dramatic ones that have a Marsy vibe to them, took place while Mars was out of bounds. It's super fascinating.
That does make sense. And, you know, everything's primed for a lot of drama right now. So, you know, it could be pretty extreme, knowing the U.S. as well as a personality.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can see it in the U.S. personality as well. And then that Mars out of bounds is square Neptune. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Stuff. Oh, my gosh. Anything could happen. What could it be?
Right. Yes, definitely. That takes us to the declination report. And we've already been talking about declination with Mars out of bounds. And if you don't know what Mars out of bounds is, like, if you're like, wait, you totally lost me like 20 minutes ago. Head over to Astrology University and search for Mars out of bounds. And we've got two webinars on it that'll kind of explain it and walk you through Mars out of bounds in the birth chart. I don't talk about it by transit so much in that webinar, but you'll learn what it is archetypally and how to think about it in the birth chart. But the declination report, in this part of the podcast, we talk about declination, what the planets are doing there. This includes out of bounds. And declination is just another way of measuring where the planets are without getting into any technical details here. But during Taurus season this year, we'll get the Moon, Mercury, and Mars out of bounds. And then at the end of May, just after Taurus season, Venus goes out of bounds too. So this is the out of bounds peak of this year. And we'll talk about Venus out of bounds in the next podcast. The dates for the Moon out of bounds, the Moon's going out of bounds one or two times each month all year long. And this month it's May 1st and 2nd when the Moon's in Capricorn, and then May 15th to 17th when the Moon's in Cancer, which is really interesting because the Moon's in rulership and then it's also out of bounds. On May 1st and 2nd, while the Moon's out of bounds, Mars will be out of bounds at the same time. So that's an especially, you want to mark that in your calendar, May 1st and 2nd, especially volatile days, especially for emotional release potential. Now, if you can harness this energy creatively, you can do really wonderful things with it. But it's not a great time to give in to or repress your emotions, right? You're feeling something big and you try to stuff it down. That's not going to work. And if you are feeling something big and you just let it all out, it's going to be a bit like a tsunami to whoever you're unleashing it on. So you want to find some kind of balance there. All I could think of as I was expressing this is that if you don't have or know healthy ways to express your emotions on those days and you just can't figure out what that would be, do your best to wait it out. It's just 2 days. And then try to express your feelings after you come back to center a bit, you know, maybe find a way to vent that energy yourself, you know, beat your pillow if it's an anger issue or problem, but journal if that's, you know, something that seems helpful, but try to come back to center before you express that energy. On May 15th to 17th, the Moon will be out of bounds at the same time as Mercury and Mars. So everything I just said applies to those dates as well. But with Mercury being in Gemini at that time, while it's out of bounds, you've got an additional resource on those days to tap into that might make it a little bit easier than the first and the second, because Mercury in Gemini out of bounds is going to help you tap into objectivity. It's going to help you tap into finding solutions using your mind. It's going to help you tap into deductive reasoning to balance out some of those impulsive or emotional drives that are coming through the Moon and Mars on those days. And Mercury goes out of bounds on May 8th, and it stays out of bounds through the 30th. Now, Mercury, when it goes out of bounds, it's usually just for a couple of days. So this is an unusually long Mercury out of bounds period as well. So it's a very interesting month, May. Mercury out of bounds of Gemini gives us access to code breaking skills. And I say that because the famous code breaker Alan Turing had Mercury out of bounds. So I think that's a great metaphor for Mercury out of bounds. And we might be able to, if we think about code breaking, see things in a new way, break out of a rut that we're in, or think our way out of a rut, or we might be given a new piece of information that we were missing that helps us solve whatever puzzle we're stuck with at the time. It's also a time where you might play that role for another person, right? So you might help someone else break out of the box, or you might give them the piece of information that they need to solve their, to break their code, you know, whatever's going on for them. So my advice is don't keep to yourself during this period. right? Really tap into the Mercury and Gemini out of bounds energy and talk your head off, right? Talk to your friends, your family, or really anyone who will listen or anyone that you're interested in. Whoever, if you're standing in line at the grocery store, don't just be quiet. Just chat people up. Let your curiosity guide you as well. Get out of your way. Get out of your own way during this time. And I'm saying this because it's important to throw out the plan and live in the present and attend to the flow with as much consciousness as you're able to while Mercury's in Gemini out of bounds. Because the most magic happens under this transit when you surrender your own plan and follow the synchronicities and signs, right? If you don't chat people up while you're standing in line at the grocery store, you might miss out on that most important piece of information the universe is trying to give you that day, right? So open all the channels, right? And just really go for it. You'll get to calm down when Mercury goes into Cancer afterwards. Be ready to shift and pivot as well at a moment's notice while Mercury is in Gemini out of bounds, because the new path might lead you right where you need to go. And it might not be anything like where you think you want to go, right? So get out of your own way, my best advice here. All right, the last thing I'll mention as part of the declination report is that there is a parallel this month. So I like to call your attention to the parallels during the declination report. And parallel is a lot like a conjunction in terms of its vibe and how we interpret it. And the parallel this month is April 23rd and 24th. When Venus and Mercury are parallel and also conjunct. So it's an especially fruitful or potent conjunction of Venus and Mercury. But what's interesting is that at the same time, both of them are also parallel Uranus. So that's bringing in kind of that upstart Uranus energy into what's normally kind of a more cordial, friendly blend of Venus and Mercury, which are kind of known to specialize in niceties and, flowing, lovely conversational skills. So Uranus is upsetting the apple cart there a little bit with those energies on those days. And that takes us to our nonprofit break. Each month we feature a nonprofit on our podcast that we support with a donation and that we also encourage you to support. And in honor of Taurus season, this month our featured nonprofit is One Tree Planted. One Tree Planted is a nonprofit with a simple but powerful mission of planting more trees to impact climate change. From their mission statement, they say they're dedicated to making it easier for individuals and businesses to give back to the environment, creating a healthier climate to protect biodiversity and to help reforestation efforts around the world. So I hope you can join us this month in donating to them, and you can do that through their website at onetreeplanted.org, and you spell out the number one. So it's onetreeplanted.org. So I hope you can stop by and support their mission. They make it really easy to support. Even with a small donation, you know, even with $5, you can get trees planted. So definitely head over and show them some love. So now we're to our Opportunity Knocks segment. And what I wanted to call your attention to this month for Opportunity Knocks are all these planets in signs of rulership. I think that's actually one of the opportunities this month. So I think I fleshed out in detail some of the Mercury and Gemini opportunities. That's May 5th when Mercury goes into Gemini. Venus is in Taurus, which we talked about earlier, and that's through May 10th. So there's a period there where Venus and Mercury are in rulership, signs of rulership. And then Jupiter goes into a sign of rulership, Pisces, on May 14th. So on May 5th, from May 5th to 10th, we have three planets in rulership, Mercury, Venus, and Saturn. And I think there's a special kind of magic that you can tap into on those days. And then on May 14th, all the way through July 11th, when this has to do with Mercury's retrograde, we'll have three planets in rulership, Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn. So we've got 5 days where it's Mercury, Venus, and Saturn. And then we've got a good, you know, almost 2 months where it's Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn. So I also want to add here that in addition to those dates and thinking about how they sync up with your own chart, look for windows when the moon goes into Cancer, because that's adding yet another planet in the sign of rulership into the mix. And that might just crank up that energy a notch for you, especially if any of those signs are important for you. I'll just name a couple of the other sextiles and trines here on April 29th, Mercury in Taurus is sextile Neptune in Pisces. And this is a good day for grounding your mind through meditation, whether that's seated meditation or just finding a comfortable spot in nature and just being still and being present, or lounging with a good book. That could be a good use of that energy as well. On May 6th, Venus in Taurus is trine Pluto while also square Jupiter. So I have a sense that there could be some kind of financial opportunities at hand this day, if that's something that you're tapped into. There's some magic that you can access in the material realm on this day with Venus in Taurus in aspect to Pluto, or perhaps a connection made with a powerful person, Pluto, that opens doors for you in that Venus in Taurus kind of way. So for the electional days that I picked out for you this month or this Taurus season, I picked May 6th, which it takes place during the waning moon. And you might know that I personally, with my own electional astrology, I if I'm starting something new that I want to grow, I try to use the waxing moon, and I try to use the waning moon for actions I'm taking where there's a bit more of a letting go quality. And May 6th carries some of that. You might recognize that date, though, that also has that Venus-Pluto trine, right? So if you are using that date for an electional for something, you might pick a Taurus or a Libra rising that day to kind of tap into the getting the most juice out of the Venus and Taurus. There aren't a lot of days this month that I would recommend for an important new start. In fact, I would maybe wait. And there's really not a lot of days for the next couple of months. But there's a little bit of juju after the new moon on May 16th if you pick a Leo or Cancer rising chart. And that takes us to our next segment, What's on Your Coffee Table? So what are you reading right now, Vanessa?
Well, what is on my coffee table is actually a PDF that I have. It's an extract from Melanie Reinhart's Transits of Chiron. So then I've picked up the whole book and that's on my coffee table now. It's so interesting revisiting it. So I interviewed Melanie for my classic Gemini for my podcast, because she's five planets in Gemini and is an astrologer. So I thought, who better to dish the tea, serve the tea on Gemini? And yeah, just reading into about the return, and it's such a great book. Highly recommend it. I mean, she literally wrote the book on Chiron, along with Barbara Hanclow has one as well. And that's where really I've picked up all my knowledge, because she influenced where I was taught. She used to come over to Australia and speak there quite regularly. So yeah, highly recommend that to dig down. She gives lots of, you know, Chiron in this house or in aspect, certainly the return. She's super metaphysical, psychological. It's just got all the levels. I think she was really ahead of her time, actually. And what about you, Tony? What's on your coffee table?
I am reading what's honestly one of my favorite books I've ever read. I am reading Trickster Makes This World, Mischief, Myth, and Art. It's been reprinted a couple of times and the subtitle's different in the different printings, but Trickster Makes This World by Lewis Hyde. It's Hyde, if you can't see the video, if you're just listening. And it's a long, fruitful, full, rich meditation on Mercury. Really. And so he looks at the trickster archetype in myth from several different cultural perspectives. So not just the Greek Hermes, but also Eshu and the Yoruba myths, coyote and raven from the North American indigenous peoples myths, and Krishna in Hindu myth. So and others. So he weaves it all together. He's an amazing writer, and he weaves it all together in a really, really wonderful way that I just personally can't get enough of. Now, I will admit to being somebody who Mercury is the most important planet in my chart. So it's like, this is the Mercury manual. You know, it's like, it's so amazing. I just can't say enough good things about it. I love it so much. So that's my book. And how about for takeaways? What are your takeaways for this month?
Well, gosh, there's always so many. I just think, I just go straight to the motto, actually, which is, just about, again, like what we've been talking about, appreciating the now, what you have, that building that self-worth with your body, what you put into your body, what you put onto your body. That's really the main takeaway for me. And the motto, there's so many, you know. I'm going to go with a basic one, which is, I easily build a solid and secure financial and physical base.
Love it. So
what about you, Tony?
Focusing in on the Taurus archetypes there. Well, for me, yeah. I say we'll need to create our own peace this month in the midst of energies that constantly try to divert us from that experience. Because in the, you know, in the, with all the Taurus stuff happening, there's a bunch of other stuff happening that's a bit contradictory to that energy, right? So finding your own peace. And we'll need to create the feeling of solid ground wherever we find ourselves, generating peace from our center while being flexible and able to respond to change without resistance. I also say don't skip the simple pleasures like eating a good meal, sitting in a comfy chair with a cozy blanket, cuddling with someone, or just taking a warm bath. And doing these things and taking them seriously, and you should take them seriously this month, might make the difference between your ability to remain grounded on a day where there's a lot of stuff going on or not at all grounded in the midst of those challenges and changes that are sure to happen.
Great advice, Tony. Yeah, great advice. It's really, yeah, nourishing, fortifying are words that come to me. That's Taurus stuff, isn't it? And earth, drop into your body if you've got anxiety or whatever's happening, because if you get too into your head with all the information that we're bombarded with, and you know, so many news sources just go on clickbait, you know, and the easiest way is to give the drama and hype it up, you know, drop into your body, just feel your body. Your body lives in the present moment. It's the greatest hack there is.
And to invoke Taurus energy, I've got a quote from Taurus naturalist John Muir: climb the mountains and get their good tidings. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunrise flows into trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you, and the storms their energy, while cares will drop off like autumn leaves. Love that one. And for, I know it just, it's, it helps you really sink in a Taurus way. For my monthly mantra, I have, I remain grounded while nimble on my feet, ready to pivot and find a new place of solidity in the midst of flow and passion.
Yes, beautiful.
So that takes us to the end. Thanks for joining us, folks. I want to tell you a little bit about some events coming up at Astrology University. On April 24th, we have a webinar with Kelly Surtees, Jupiter in Pisces, Dreaming Your Future. Kelly's going to give a wonderful, uplifting presentation on Jupiter in Pisces. Jupiter in Pisces is a bit special this time because we have a little bit of Jupiter in Pisces this year, and then we have a good chunk next year too. So we get kind of it's almost like a double dose, because it's going to go into Pisces for a bit, then it'll go back into Aquarius and then back into Pisces. So you'll be able to reference this webinar for quite a while. And then on April 28th, we have two new courses starting. These are 4-week courses. And the first one is Timing Development with Progressions. And that's with Kelly Surtees again, and also Darby Costello. So they're co-teaching. And these are two astrologers who love progressions. So who better to teach than people who love the technique? And Darby's written a wonderful book called The Astrological Moon, which is one of the textbooks for the course. And Kelly Surtees is working on her progressions book. But join them to learn all about progressions. And both of them have their own unique techniques for blending transits with progressions and chart interpretation. So they're going to be sharing some of that with you as well. And it's really practical, easy to apply stuff. So if that's always kind of confused you, like, how do I blend interpreting transits and progressions, definitely tune in for that one. Also on April 28th, another 4-week course is starting on the houses, exploration and application. And that's co-taught by myself and Kelly Surtees. And those are 4 pre-recorded lessons and then 4 live Q&A sessions. And we get just fully immersed in the houses. Over 4 lessons, we learn how the different house systems are calculated. You run your own chart in 5 different house systems, just to really throw you for a loop and to really get into the, immerse yourself in the experience of learning about how they're calculated. And then we go into, of course, the meaning of the houses. We go from ancient to modern traditions in terms of meanings. And then we look at how to understand and apply house rulership. So if that's something you've struggled with, you may want to tune in for that one. That one's really suitable for beginners who are learning about the houses or people who just want to take a deep dive. And then what's going on for you, Vanessa, this month?
Well, I've got the usual. What I'm available for is obviously my books, read them, and readings as well. And I've reloaded my, I have to put a thing up for it, a link, but I've reloaded my past life regression technique, and I'm actually doing it on Zoom. I was avoiding it for ages because I like doing it in person, but I can just do it, or I can do it based on your south node. So we just sort of take that as a leaping off place, a starting place, and we go into, well, what was the scenario? What's the scenario? What comes to you? And then what's the lesson where you meant to go for your north node? It's very revealing. It's a great technique. And it's a talk I had wanted to do for ages, and I finally got to do it. And now I've booked it in for somewhere else as well. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to start offering them again. So yeah, awesome. Interesting to do via technology, but you know, I'm going with the changes, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely. You're in Australia, so it'll be a while before you can, you guys have just had more restrictions, right?
Yeah, well, I read that a minister said we may not be able to travel until 2024 for holidays anyway, but for business we can. So Tony can hire me. I can come over.
I will definitely do that. We have to keep, your Sag parts happy and healthy.
I know. It's really, there was a quick freeze. It's really something to mentally just get past that, because my whole life I have lived to study and travel, like learn, study, travel. And it's, I guess a lot of us have that these days, because traveling has been so extraordinarily accessible for a lot of us. So, yep. I'm good either way, but if I can get on a plane and to places over the water, I'm totally on that plane.
I hear you. I hear you. Me too. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm glad you could join us, and thanks for joining us, Vanessa, as always. And until next time, take good care.
Great. Thank you, Tony. Thanks, everyone, and stay cosmic. Have a great month.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.